Well, I guess the thing to start out with usually is pretty good. When were you born?
Clarksdale, Mississippi.
In Clarksdale, and what's your birthday?
My birthday is January the 15th.
And can you tell us the year too you were born in?
I born 1930, January the
15th. 1930. Huh. Mm-hmm. And did you grow up on a farm there?
No, I grew up here in Chicago. I came to Chicago.
Yeah, but I mean, when you were a kid, were your folks working on the plantation?
Yeah, my mother and them, father, they used to work on the farm, and they brought me to Chicago when I was 1 year old.
You were 1 year old?
Yeah.
Oh, is that
and
right?
So really, Chicago is my home that I know something about.
Oh, yeah. Were your folks playing music too? Did your mother play?
Well, my father used to play, used to play harmonica and guitar and violin. Huh. And my mother, she sang, used to be on, trying to think, Rabbit Foot Show, a long time ago.
Hmm. Was she a singer?
Yeah, she sings.
Ah. So you had some music in your family?
Yeah, everybody in my family sang.
Huh.
Some preachers, some singers. And
oh, yeah.
Joe Henry, he's my first cousin. The one that made Funny How Time Slips Away. He made lots of records.
Huh. Is his name Hooker, too?
No, his name is Hinton, Joe Hinton.
Oh, Joe Hinton. Oh, he's your cousin?
That's the one right there in my picture there.
Ah, yeah, I know the picture. I didn't know he was related to you. Yeah. And do you have any brothers and sisters? Or?
Well, I have a sister. She's a musician too. She play organ and sing.
And she live here in Chicago?
She live in Chicago, yeah.
So your parents came up here right in the Depression time, I guess.
That's right. Yeah, it's been a long time ago, something I don't know nothing about.
you were raised right in here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who were some of the people that kind of got you to take up the guitar? How did you start?
Well,
I don't know what the first things.
Robert Nighthawk and a boy named Leo Blevins and Kenke Blevins, two brothers.
Hmm.
They learned me how to play music.
Right.
And that's how I first got my start. First, I used to be a bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
Run around with street gangs. And
oh.
After I got to playing music, well, all this here bad stuff got in my mind, you know, and I got interest playing music.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first guitar that ever brought, I brought from Sears and Roebuck. I paid $1 down and 50 cents a week.
Mm.
And
was that an electric box or?
No, it was one of the old round hole guitar.
Yeah.
Folks guitar, who would call them now.
And did you learn right from Robert to play with a slide?
Robert Nighthawk learned how to play a slide.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I used to watch him play, and that's where I got my style playing from.
Was he playing around Chicago most of the time?
Yeah, he had a music store here one time.
Oh, he had a music store?
Yeah. And that's how I first started playing music, going over there and listening to him play.
Hmm.
And then I used to take music, and then after I got so good with it, then I started going down the line of healing music, though, taking music.
Uh-huh. Well, so you took actually lessons from quite a few people.
Yeah, and lots of people.
That's probably why you're one of the best technicians out in Chicago. I mean, everybody knows you as really
that's right.
The best.
Cut it.
Cut it. Time, but I like to, you know, get some background on people, you know, see who you learned from and, you know, what made you such a good musician. That's always an interesting thing to find out because, I mean, everybody here in town, you know, knows you as the best side man, you know, if they ever, because I think you've made some, when did you make your first record? Do you remember that? When you first sat in with somebody?
My first record?
Yeah.
Well, my first record was on a King label and I made Racetrack Blues.
Hmm.
And that was the first one that I ever made. And then I've been going different companies, making records with different people like Junior Will.
Yeah, so you made and, a nice guitar.
I made up in here with Junior Will. That's the first record. Not the first one, but the first one was Messing With The Kid.
Yeah,
that was the first one that he had a hit on.
I just heard yesterday, yeah.
And then I made a whole lot of records with Junior Will.
Mm-hmm.
Made some with Ricky Allen. And made some with Bobby Blue Bland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bobby Blue Bland, he used to sing for me a long time ago. Me and him started out. John Ace, the young fella killed himself back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to play piano for me.
What was that?
And B.B. King, we all started out in Memphis, Tennessee playing.
Well, you mean you sort of went actually back down?
No, here's what happened. What I mean about we all started out together is in 49, I went to Memphis.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I managed to meet these people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was the first time I ever went south. South was in 49.
In 49.
And so I stayed around there for about...
How did you happen to decide to go down there? Did somebody,
well,
did
some band came through Chicago, need a guitar player. And the name of the band was Ike Turner.
Oh, yeah.
And that's who I was playing with when I went down to Memphis and all down to Mississippi, playing in Florida. And then I came back to Memphis. I liked the Memphis. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to stay around there for a while on my own. And that's how I managed to meet Bobby Blue Bland and Junior Parker and John Ace. And at that time, they weren't making records.
Mm-hmm.
They was just like I am, you know, playing and singing in club.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sang good and they liked the way I play guitar. And so I got them together and I told them, well, why don't y'all work with me? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we would like to work with you because you is about the best guitar player I ever heard. Well, see, back in those days, I was playing more guitar than I'm playing now because I was younger and I had lots of pep. You know, for playing music.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing better then.
Mm-hmm.
And my fingers was much faster. Mm-hmm. And some of the tunes that they playing today, I was playing back in 49.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's what...
Did you also run into Sonny Boy Williamson down there?
Sonny Boy Williamson, I played with Rice Miller. The Sonny Boy Williams after the first Sonny Boy Williams died.
Yeah.
Well, I originally played with the real Sonny Boy Williams.
Well, did you know him too?
That's right. That's right. I played on a couple of his records, Baby Please Don't Go and Let Me Play With Your Pool. The real Sonny Boy Williams.
Mm-hmm. Well, Play Me With Your Pool, I think it was a Tampa Red who made that record.
Well, he made it too.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah. Tampa Red made it, Sonny Boy Williams made it too.
Mm-hmm. So you,
Baby Please Don't Go, that's one of the Sonny Boy Williams records.
Mm-hmm.
I know you heard that. And
Joe Williams made it.
Old song goes something like, going down in New Orleans to get myself some of those cabbage green. I don't know if you heard that, but it's old tunes. See, I forgot the title of, you know.
And did you ever work on that radio station down there, you know, in Helena, Arkansas?
Yeah, I played down there for about 2 years in Helena, Arkansas. I was a Cane Biscuit Boy.
Oh, yeah? Who were some of the other guys in the band?
Well, when I went to Helena, Arkansas, I was with Robert Nighthawk.
Mm-hmm.
And I just played with so many different groups when I was down south, you know.
Yeah.
And so I worked on a broadcast station about 2 years with Dudlow, Stackhouse, and Chain Peck Curtis. He's a drummer, Cane Biscuit Boy, and also Robert Jr., he's a guitar player. And also, so Rice Miller, the second Sonny Boy we had.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about how the second Sonny Boy started up? I mean, did he always call himself Sonny Boy Williamson, or did he just kind of...
Well, after the... well, really, he could sing all of Sonny Boy Williamson's number. And after the real Sonny Boy died, well, he just took over. And he was the second Sonny Boy Williamson.
Yeah. But I guess you didn't know him before he... got on the radio and called
No, I didn't know him then.
Yeah.
But I know him after he had called himself Sonny Boy Williams.
Yeah.
But I know the real Sonny Boy Williams for his dad because I used to play with him.
Mm-hmm. I guess, did you ever meet Big Bill Brunzi and fellas like that? Or?
No, I met Big Bill, guitar player, mm-hmm. old blues guitar player, Memphis Minnie,
mm-hmm.
Muddy Water, and Howlin' Wolf. I used to play with them,
mm-hmm.
and Lil Walter, used to play with him, and that's so many of them I played with, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever hear of a fellow named Bobo Jenkins or Robert Jenkins?
No, I never did know him.
I'm just trying to find out where he was from, but I and you made some records of your own, but I guess you also played on a lot of other people's records, didn't you?
Well, I made, my first hit record I made mm-hmm. on the AIDS label was Blue Guitar. Sold a million copies. Yeah, AIDS.
AIDS?
Like yeah, AIDS.
I see. Was that here out of Chicago?
Yeah, out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second record I made was a good seller. It was on Chess. Was Tanger. And Put the Shoes on Willie.
Hmm.
That was a pretty good record.
Mm-hmm.
And so, after then, well, I just started traveling,
mm-hmm.
and my mind got away from making records, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I haven't made a record in a long time,
mm-hmm.
into now.
Well, I guess you had a kind of a bout with the TB, but when did you first notice that, and how long ago was that when you...
Well, really, I been going in and out of the hospital for about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
Yeah,
you just got to take
hard.
That rest, and you got to
yeah.
got to eat right and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're still on that road out there playing and don't eat and
just
run
up
down the highway where you run your resistance down,
yeah.
and then you begin to lose your weight, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and this is it, and then you break down, you know.
Yeah.
And
but
so,
it seems like you almost licked it now, so you
yeah.
just gotta take
yeah.
care of yourself.
That's
and
right.
Build up your resistance, that seems to be the, mm-hmm. the thing.
Well, my resistance is up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, by me taking an operation, had the bad part cut out, so that way, well, I supposed to be cured.
Mm-hmm.
But you always can catch it again, you know.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. It's always something you gotta be careful about. Who do you think are some of the musicians around here that you really like to work with, that you kind of respect in town? I noticed you said a man named Moose, you call him.
Yeah, Big Moose.
Big Moose.
Yeah, he's an organ player. Me and him played together all over the country, California, Texas, everywhere. That's practically all states in Chicago, Chicago in the United States.
Hmm.
Not all of them, but very many.
Mm-hmm. So he's about the best, or maybe
he's about the best piano player, and about the best organ player, blues man. He's good. And also, I play with some of the big boys too, like Louis Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Play with him on tour, Sam Cooks, and Jane Brown, and
did you tour with him once?
Yeah, I went on a tour with him.
Well, how come you always quit? Did you always feel like you wanted to lead your own group? Or?
Well, really, I always liked to have my own group because I feel better when I got my own group. A playing, you know, because I can play what I want to play.
I see.
But
yeah.
See, when you're playing with somebody else, you have to play like they want you to play.
Yeah, and that
that's right.
Tough after a while, like
But see, I like to play guitar, and I like to do different things on the guitar,
yeah.
you know.
Well, you're certainly one of the greatest of all. But I guess, like people tell me, you know, you perhaps don't have the strongest voice in the business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so people say, well, maybe that's one reason why you never had a really chance to make it. I mean, you're certainly the best guitar man around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Well, maybe instrumentals will come back one day, and you know,
mm-hmm,
seems like now people are paying so much attention to the singing, you know.
Yeah, they like singing now.
But I think you have a nice voice singing, but I can see it isn't as strong, you know, like.
Well, see, the reason my voice are not strong, see, by me,
you had some,
you know, having surgery on my lungs, and that kind of takes a little your wind too, you know.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But really, I'm not no singer, but I practice sometime on singing, and I always doubt myself.
No, I think you have a very pleasant voice, actually. I mean, you know,
I be ashamed of myself when I sing, and some people tell me that I sound nice, you know.
I think you sound very nice. But you have a nice timing and a nice phrasing.
Yeah.
You know, I think on a record it really sounds nice. I can see in a club, you know, where you gotta scream so loud, they probably couldn't hear you, you know, as good as they can hear somebody like B.B. Jr.
B.B. is a singer, so he even
sing
a long
time. Shout, you know, but...
But I would like to be a good singer, you know. If I had the wind, I wasn't so ashamed, you know.
Well, that's something that you, you know, just gotta learn to live with.
Yeah. But I'm not ashamed of playing music, you know.
No, I
but singing,
not.
I am.
I don't think there hardly anybody who can beat you on that guitar.
Well, really, see, I've been playing a good 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing it since I was about 10 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you pretty much took music right up, you know, to be your work then. When
that's right. I have never had a job in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have
been
played music all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never had no job.
You don't call it a job, because
well, playing music,
enjoy it.
Playing music is my job.
I think that's a good way to put it, because I don't look at my work as a job either, because I enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you do that, then it doesn't seem to be like a
that's
job.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of enjoying life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wondering what you might want to say about your own music or something that...
Well, really, I like to play rock and roll, I like to play jazz, I like to play blues, I like to play a little everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like all types of music.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's also evident from your development over the years. Like you say, you started with Robert Nighthawk and you played that kind of old funky stuff, and then with B.B. King, that new kind of, you know, picking came along. You, I think, became one of the best right in that field.
And tried it all.
And I think that shows what a versatile musician you are, to pick up the things that they come along as you hear them. Because most people stay in one groove, you know.
Yeah.
They get
one
stuck
thing.
In one on one
but
thing.
But see, I just like music, you know.
Mhm.
And so, this is it, you know. I love it.
Yeah.
And then I like to play different things. Like I say, I don't like playing on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like to change up when I'm on the bandstand. See, I'm different altogether.
Mhm.
Like when I'm making blues, I make blues because the older peoples, they enjoy you playing blues and things. Well, I have played with big bands, little bands. I have played with five pieces. And we was in a little town called Kiro, Illinois. And they had a big band there. They had Lord Fuller in his big band from California. And this was last year. And they was playing on one corner and we was playing on another corner. And both of the clubs are big. And so he got a good swinging band now, playing jazz.
What's,
and
what's the guy's name?
Lord Fulton.
Oh, Lord Fulton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was playing jazz and blues, the same thing we was playing.
Mm-hmm.
But only we was a little bit, soul music, as they call. And that's what we was playing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they was on the other end playing. And so we had all the people.
Is that right?
And this is it, you know. The people that would go down and listen. And they was playing them good tunes, but they seemed like they didn't go for that. They just come on back down where the blues was, you know.
Yeah.
This
is
the thing.
People can tell if they got the feeling in there.
And so I have, you know, I've been on shows with mm-hmm. people like Muddy Water, and I had a good jazz group. Mm-hmm. And so we was playing on the same show. Mm-hmm. And I had a better groupie in Muddy Water, mm-hmm. but the people seemed like they didn't like no real good music. Mm-hmm. And so Muddy Water was playing the blues, and so Muddy Water them stole the show from us, you know.
Yeah, well, he's got that.
And everywhere I went, we was playing this jazz and these tunes, you know, and mm-hmm. and we couldn't make no money. And so I said, well, I'm gonna go back and start playing the blues. And so I went back and started playing the blues and got me a blues group. And that's why I started making money. And so yeah. I decided, well, I'll just stick with the blues a little while longer.
Yeah, don't you think it could be part of the problem there is that, you know, a musician can spend all his time, you know, listening to music and developing himself.
That's
but,
right.
But your audience doesn't really have that time. They just stick with that thing
that's
that
right.
they grew up with, you know.
That's right.
And then they can't really follow what some of the jazz people are doing.
That is really
I
right.
I think that's really the problem, that, a musician has a time to really develop.
That's
and
right.
The public just really just stays back there, you know.
You're right.
When they grew up and what they heard then, that's what they're going to like
that's
most
right.
of their life.
They'll pretend, you know. Mm. Now, I went to some places, they pretend that they like jazz. Mm-hmm. And I said, now, I'm going to sit here and watch and see what's happening. Mm. So I played jazz. Mm. And don't nobody dance. Mm-hmm. But they pat their hand. Mm-hmm. But yet they dig jazz, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'm going to change the set. I'm going to play a couple of blues. Then I plays a couple of blues, and everybody get on the dance floor and start slow and dancing mm-hmm. and patting their feet, and this is what they like.
Yeah.
So they pretend that they like jazz, but when I play the blues, they get on the floor and start dancing. So you can figure that, you know, about what they like.
Yeah, what they
know.
Really like.
Is yeah, what they really like is right. You're
what
right.
What gets to them, you know.
Yeah. And so this is the thing that keeps me confused, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I think it keeps a lot of musicians, you
yeah.
know, in kind of wondering what's going on because the public never seems to progress, you know.
That's right.
They stay pretty much in the style that they grew up with, and the musician gets kind of tired of that.
That's right. And so really, I try to play some real good music sometime, and they just don't dig it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I go and play regular, and the regular I play it, the better they like it. And this is the thing, you know.
Yeah, well, I think that's the, well, what sort of audiences do you like to play best for that you can you remember any times that you really?
Well, I went to Houston,
really
Texas.
Time?
With my cousin Joe Hinton. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed myself down there with him on his show. Mm-hmm. We had about 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. And I likes to play for any club that got lots of people in it. Mm-hmm. That's what really give me really soul to play. Mm-hmm. When I see them people.
Yeah.
This is what I'm a, well, what you call a freak to, mm-hmm. seeing people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to play to them. When mm-hmm. I see them people, then I get happy, mm-hmm. and then everything come out of me.
Yeah.
And I bring everything I can bring out of the guitar to try to satisfy the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I noticed that at the club when I heard you. I thought
yeah.
It's probably very hard to come up in a studio and get that feeling.
That's right.
That's a real problem.
Well, really, imagine mm-hmm. if I had been doing this all the time mm-hmm. in the studio, I probably would have the same feeling, you know.
Well, that's pretty hard to duplicate, you know.
Yeah.
You can't feel good all the time.
That's right, not all the time.
Did you play guitar with Joe Hinton, or did you play piano?
No, I was playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my band.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left now and went to Waterloo Highway. Mm-hmm. And so I got a little thing going now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had me playing hillbilly music up there.
Oh, yeah?
And so I went to a hillbilly joint where some hillbilly boys were playing. And so I asked the guy, I said, will you let me sit in and play a number? He said, man, you don't play rock and roll, do you? I said, well, I can play a little rock and roll, and I can play a little stuff that you playing too. He said, well, if you can play this good old here Billy music, you reckon welcome to play. And so he called me on the bandstand, and so everybody was looking at me, and so they said, well, this is something that I got to dig, you know.
Yeah.
A color boy playing hillbilly music, you know, in a hillbilly joint.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
And so, well, I went on and started playing the guitar, playing Walking the Floor with You and some of Hank Williams' old records, Cheating Hard, and now those kind of numbers that I can sing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I can sing those kind of numbers. See, when I was a little boy, I used to always watch Gene Autry and them in the movies sing and play his guitar. And that was my favorite cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to like to see them sing those little Western songs. And that's what gave me an idea of playing as Western music.
I see. So you really had... You know, you were always kind of a step above blues, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, like you say, blues is really pretty raggedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Music.
Yeah.
But I think that's good in all of it, you know.
And so, I played in this hillbilly joint up in Waterloo Highway. So the man, he liked the way I played. He said, "You about the best guitar player I ever seen that come through here."
Mm-hmm.
And so. The guy that I asked let me play on his guitar, he gave me a job playing in his band.
Exactly.
And so I was playing hillbilly music.
How long did you do that?
Well, I stayed there for 6 months.
Is that right?
That's right. One club.
That's a good long
playing
one.
Every night. And then I recorded some hillbilly tunes with him.
Was that one of those little records you gave me, The Walk on the Floor?
Yeah,
over you?
Yeah.
Has that got his band on there?
Yeah, his band playing on it. That's who I was playing with. But they, you know, I had them playing like I want them to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was showing them how to play a little rock and roll too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a big thing to me, you know.
Yeah. Well, I bet they appreciated it too. They probably haven't heard of
they liked
it. Yeah, like you.
They liked it. And so my cousin Freddie, he's a steel guitar man.
Mm.
So he could play all the steel guitar rag and things, and it really all went for that.
Oh, he was with you?
Yeah.
Freddie.
Yeah, the one that played steel guitar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We went to lots of places.
He's your cousin, is he?
Yeah.
Are you related to John Lee Hooker too?
John Lee Hooker is my cousin too.
Oh, on which side? Is he on your mother's? Or
that's
your
on my daddy's side.
On your father's side?
Yeah.
Oh.
John Lee Hooker.
Hmm.
And I see them every now and then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole lot of hookers of them. And the bigger majority of hookers in Kansas City. I went and played at the 99 hole in Kansas City. Hole about, I imagine, about 600 people.
Hmm.
And half of the people in there was hookers. 300 hookers. And the man on the club said, I never seen these many hookers in my life. He said he couldn't believe it.
Where'd they all come from?
Kansas City. All of them live there.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they just live all over the country. I got some in California and all down in the southern part of it.
And you think they all come from Mississippi to begin with?
Or? Really. All of them come out of Mississippi. All of my people.
Darn.
All of them was raised around Vans, Mississippi, and Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Hmm.
Tuckwiler.
Yeah.
Yes, where all of them from.
Did you ever go back there to play down there? After, you know, when you were on Memphis, did you go down to Clarksdale?
Yeah, I was down in Mississippi about 3 months ago.
Hmm.
I played down in July.
Is that right?
Yeah, I went down there.
Where do you play
down
there?
The 4th of July. I went to Greenville, Mississippi, to the Elks Club.
Uh-huh. Because they hardly seem to have any joints down there.
Well, the kind of joints they got down there is boogie jookie joints. And you know, kind of out like out in the country like.
And really
that's where all the people have all the fun at, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call them juke houses.
Juke houses.
Yeah. Them the kind of houses they have. And then the people's ready to turn out when they have dances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm. If you got a name, if you're a good player, mm. Well, they still turn out.
Can you remember any guys down there that you really thought were any good that you heard? Did you hear any other people who were still
well, I
playing
heard,
down there?
Some good bands down there.
Hmm.
Some very good bands down there. And everywhere I went down south, the people got good bands. They got better bands in the south end is in Chicago. Hmm. And really all of the good players here in Chicago come from south.
Mm-hmm.
From the south.
That's certainly true, yeah.
And so I went down and I run up on some guys down there and they got 9 and 10 pieces and I don't see how the man be able to pay all them pieces, but they makes it.
Uh-huh.
And this is where all the good stuff come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the good soul music that they
yeah.
call, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. this is the thing, you know.
They got the feeling, I guess, down
there. But the biggest thing that I get a kick out of is hearing Lil BB and the real BB sing together.
Oh, you've heard them both sing together?
Yeah, and I was playing a guitar on the show about a week ago. We played out to the Spear, the Burning Spear.
The Burning Spear?
Yeah, we went and dug the show when he was at the Riggers.
Uh-huh.
And so BB King, he know me, and so he invited me over there. And so, little BB, he's my singer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got on the show, and we just stole the show from everybody.
Mm.
And BB King said, "Well, Earl Hooker, ladies and gentlemen, me and him started out together. So he's the best blues guitar player that I ever heard. And I just love to hear him play this slide." Mm. And then he said, "Well, there ain't nothing more for me to do," said Sarah Hooker done played all the guitar, and Lil BB done sung all the song, and so that's it. But I still like BB too. He like me and I like him.
Yeah, he seems to be a nice man.
So that's it.
What people say.
So he's a good guitar player, and I like the way he play, and he likes the way I play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a, you know,
yeah.
thing.
Okay, well, I think we got something in there. To,
anything else?
Think about. Well, you just about play with everybody then. Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you played with James Brown on the show and with Joe.
Oh yeah, I played with all of them.
And did you traveled with Ike Turner? You went down south.
Yeah.
To Memphis,
yeah. Played with Ike Turner. All
uh-huh. And
I turned these play, man.
Hmm.
I got some pictures of me and Ike turning them playing the bands now.
How did you happen to make that on the King record, the first record you made? Did he come to see you or?
No, he came. He had a talent scout.
Oh, I see.
And so I was down in Florida, and Brady in Florida. Playing, and this guy come in and hear me play and said, would y'all like to make some records? I said, yeah, that would gas me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he heard us play, and he liked the group, and so he recorded the group the same day.
Oh, it was down in Florida?
Uh-huh. Right down in Florida. He had some kind of compact machine he carried with him, you know.
Oh, is that right?
And he recorded us there in the place.
Uh-huh.
Carried on back somewhere at Ohio up in there somewhere.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then next thing I know, he sent us some records out.
Uh-huh.
And the record sold pretty good.
Yeah, that's the best way to record. That's the way I like to record, actually. It's in a place, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you get the feeling so much better. Than
mm-hmm. That's what happened.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so,
but it gets harder now. I guess you didn't have as many pieces then, did you, as you do now?
We had
6 pieces.
Yeah, I always have kept me at least 5 or 6 pieces.
Hmm.
But I consider like a trio is nice if you're working in the right kind of club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like when you're playing dances, see, that's all I ever played, dances. I played a few taverns, and I still on the roll all the time. You got to have at least five pieces.
Yeah, those are
or six.
Out, yeah.
See, because this is the thing, people walk in and see three pieces and paying that $2 on the door, $3, where they gonna say, where's the rest of the band at? And this is what you run into, you know. And I had run into some problems like that with bass, drum, and guitar. You know, I had three pieces. And the people consider that I didn't have no band, you know. And so our manager got me an organ player and two hums, and that's it. Then I had no more troubles.